This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
The year was 1997, and I was doing something really important with my life in 1997. I had decided that it was time for me to start my own personal collection of CDs. And if you don't know this, if you were born after the year 2005, that stands for compact discs. But it was really important for me to get my own personal collection of CDs started. And at the time, I had three of my own. And they were the trifecta of the original debut Backstreet Boys album, as well as the soundtracks for the movie Space Jam and Men in Black. So as you can tell, I was started off on the right foot and was just ready to keep going. But I wanted more. I had three CDs, and I wanted more, and there was one CD that was out during this time in 1997 that I knew that I absolutely, 100%, had to have as part of my collection. And this one CD, I promise you this, it changed music forever. And I knew, I was like, I need this, I want this. And I just told myself, I have to get this. And it was a group of family members, this band. It was a group of family members that were carrying on the traditions of classic blood-related bands who had gone before them, the likes of the Jackson 5, the likes of the Osmonds, the Von Trapp family. This band was continuing that legacy, and I knew I needed to be a part of it, but don't worry. If you have no idea what band I'm talking about this morning, if you've never let your ears feast upon the sweet, sweet sounds of the band that I'm talking about this morning, take heart, have no fear. I've got your back. It's Hanson, everyone. I'm telling you, this was Hanson. Like, Hanson was a big deal, and Hanson was the CD. It was their debut album that I knew I had to have as part of my collection, and I felt like I needed it. Like, I needed this album in my life. The band Hanson, they probably had some of the greatest lyrics the world has ever known. Mbop. Badoopadop. Badoobop. Badoopadop. Badoo. Yeah. Okay, but getting back to my story, I'm in the second grade, and I'm 7 years old, and I knew I wanted this CD. I wanted it very badly, and I'll never forget the day that it finally came home in my sister's clutches. What? I had been longing for this CD for so long. It felt like, for me, I knew that I'd been just craving the CD for what felt like an entire lifetime, which to a seven-year-old equals about a day and a half. And yet my sister came home with the CD in her clutches, and I'll never forget the wave of emotion that came over me as I listened to my sister belt these genius lyrics as she played what was supposed to be my CD over her high-quality speakers of her non-skip boombox. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to today's passage, believe it or not. And so I want to set this up for you. I want to set this up for you because this emotion that I'm talking about, that I just referenced, that we're talking about today, is something that I believe that we all deal with, and it's something we definitely see in Scripture. And so I want to talk about a story that a lot of us have probably heard, but I want to talk about the latter half of the story, which we oftentimes gloss over. And so the story is of the prodigal son. Jesus is telling, he's talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, and he's telling them this story, this parable that he wants them to learn a lesson from. And in this parable, as some of you have heard, there is a son who works for his father. And this son asks for his inheritance from his father. He gets it. He leaves. A great famine happens at the same time that this son squanders all of his money on wild living. And so the son comes back to the dad and asks, he's asking for a job. And the father brings the best robe to put on him and kills the fattened calf to start a party in celebration of this son's return. And this is where I want to dive into scripture with you. So we're going to open up the book of Luke. We're going to look at chapter 15, and we're going to end this story by jumping into verse 25. We're going to read 25 through 30. Here it goes. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf." You see, we're in this series called Reset, and I thought, what a better time than at the beginning of the year to reset the way we see others' victories in life. Because if we're being really honest with ourselves, jealousy is an emotion that is still real, even as adults. Even if we don't like to admit it. There are moments in our lives where we have this little uptick of emotion that comes over us when other people succeed and we don't quite get it. You see, Jesus calls us out from a life of jealousy, and yet it's a battle I believe we have to be willing to fight every single day. And something I find really interesting about the topic of jealousy is that sometimes this emotion can simply come from wanting to have what others have. Like me with my sister's CD, and I'm like, I want that. Why does she get it? I want to have it. But it also, jealousy can also come from judgment of others based on their past actions, like the older brother in this passage that we just read. Meaning the topics of grace and jealousy become intertwined. They almost have to exist together. And to be quite frank with you, I don't think that we as humans, and I'm even talking about myself here because I know myself well enough to admit that I don't think that we as humans deal with grace very gracefully. Because we love when grace happens to us. We love when we're the ones receiving grace. But when it's given to others, we start questioning it. Well, do they deserve it? Like, look at what they've done. Like, do they deserve grace in this moment? And yet that's the thing with grace. I love about grace is that no one, not a single person, is deserving of it. That's the whole point of grace. And I know there's different nuances and dynamics to every single case that comes up. But as a person who follows Jesus, when I read this passage of scripture, it makes me look in the mirror and wonder, am I allowing jealousy to embitter myself towards God's blessings in the lives of other people? And I start asking myself some really important questions that I want to hit this morning with you. Here's the first. What is the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear of another person's success? What is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear of another person's success? My gut reaction is most likely how I truly feel. And we see that in this passage. It's the older brother's emotion that immediately comes up is anger. And if my gut reaction is anything but positive when hearing news of other people's blessings, then I've got some heart work that I need to allow Jesus to do within me. What's the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear of another's success? If my gut reactions are always negative when I hear about the success of people around me, specifically people I know, then I need to start practicing putting others before myself until I naturally desire to celebrate others' victories with them. And then I ask myself a second question. And that's this: do I find myself becoming distant when another person succeeds? You see, one of the first things the older brother does is secludes himself. He completely removes himself from his family's presence. The father had to go seek out the older son because he was basically off in another room pouting by himself. You see, whether intentionally or unintentionally, have you allowed yourself to become distant from a person who has experienced grace or success? Fight it. That's the enemy fighting to take hold in your heart. Don't fall into the trap. You see, any feeling of jealousy or animosity, I'm here to tell you this morning, any feeling of jealousy or animosity doesn't come from God. Allowing ourselves to become distant and jealous creates a wedge between us and other people, and also between us and God. Are you creating a wedge because of the way you feel about somebody else's success and their life? And then a third question I ask myself is this: am I trying to make a chapter in a story that has nothing to do with me all about me? You see, it can be easy for us, can it? It can be easy for us to grab the spotlight and shine it back on ourselves. And if we're tempted to put the attention back on ourselves and off another person, I'm telling you this, that nudge isn't coming from God. Humility looks like elevating other people over ourselves. And yet, even still, for a lot of us, we can empathize with the older brother. We read this story, this passage in Scripture, and we go, well, he's right. He seems justified to get angry. But this is what we have to realize, and it's our first major point this morning, and it's this: anger keeps us from being grace givers. If grace and jealousy just are intertwined like the way I spoke about earlier, then we have to realize that anger keeps us from being grace givers. That if we're jealous and it leads to anger, that's something that, it creates a wedge between us and others to the point where we stop giving other people grace. Maybe even the same grace that we've received in our own lives, we're less willing to give to others. Isn't it interesting how we can get upset with God for being compassionate toward the people we don't like or aren't happy with in life? Like, if we're being honest right now, there are people in our lives that we get so angry with that the thought of God having mercy on them or blessing them in any type of way, it makes us sick. And yet if we stop and pause for a moment, then we start to realize that the sickness is within us. Proverbs 14, verse 29, it says this: whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. So in our patience, we'll find great understanding of situations in our lives. But when we allow anger to guide us, we will be foolish. Scripture tells us this. And that foolishness, I believe it can present itself as a multitude of things. It can present itself as arrogance. It can present itself as gossip, as slander, as bitterness. The list goes on and on and on. And sometimes we even have this tendency to try to help God understand who should receive his grace and who shouldn't, which brings us to our second point. And it's this: it's exclusivity keeps us from being grace givers. Exclusivity keeps us from being grace givers. There's another danger that we fall into when we operate like the older brother in this passage in Luke. The tendency to compare ourselves to others in unhealthy ways is something that we all deal with. The pandemic this last year has brought this to the forefront. As we all sheltered in home, a lot of us jumped on social media even more so than we already were. And because we jumped on social media more, we got even more glimpses into the lives of others. And with more glimpses into the lives of others comes more opportunities to want what other people have, to find ourselves jealous of what other people are doing, meaning we're constantly getting more temptation, more trappings to fall into. And there are all sorts of ways that we define ourselves, right? Both individually and collectively, whether on social media or not. We define ourselves through talent, economic status, interests, geography, like where we live. Trust me, I lived in Ohio for 3 years, and you would swear that the people in Ohio as Buckeyes, that they were in the Holy Land, Buckeye Central. Race, gender, belief systems, we define ourselves individually and collectively by all these things. And yet sometimes these can be helpful in defining and helping to define ourselves. But other times when we add value to these definitions of who we are, it becomes judgmental and exclusive. I want to jump back into the parable that Jesus is talking about in Luke. And we pick up where right after the older son complains to the father, the father responds, and this is what he says. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." You see, the father reaffirms his love for the older son along with his place in the family, yet he insists that this kind of love does not exclude the younger brother. Specifically in this parable, Jesus is speaking directly to the attitude of the Pharisees that he's speaking to and the teachers of the law who are of the mindset that God's love was reserved exclusively for a select group of chosen Israelites who kept the commandments. And yet we know that that's not what God's love is. We know that that's not who God's love only encompasses. And our proclivity to compare ourselves hinders us from celebrating God's work in the lives of other people. It hinders us from giving grace in moments when we can celebrate the victories God is bringing up in other people's lives. And this leads me to our third point, which is the overarching point, and that's that it's this, that jealousy keeps us from being grace givers. If anger keeps us from giving grace, if exclusivity keeps us from giving grace, that jealousy as a whole keeps us from giving grace to other people. You see, sometimes our reaction is as simple as good old-fashioned jealousy. And we all struggle with it. It's that ugly little monster in all of us that screams, "It's not fair, and I deserve better." We whine. I can admit that about myself. There are times when I'm like, man, I'm whiny. I whined as a kid when I didn't get that CD. And if we're not careful and intentional, then that I believe that kid still lives in all of us at times. And when we allow ourselves to become jealous, that mindset will spoil relationships. And then those spoiled relationships will spoil our ability to witness to other people about Jesus. And we end up adopting this us versus them mentality in life. I remember playing baseball, and I was in the outfield at the time, and this kid hits this pop-up. And I'm waiting, I'm watching it, I'm trying not to lose it in the sun. And I'm running towards it. And as I'm running towards it, I hear the footsteps of a teammate also running towards the ball. And so because I hear the footsteps of my teammate running towards this ball, trying to catch this pop fly, I yell out what you're always supposed to yell out in baseball when you think you have the better angle on the pop fly to catch it. And that's this. It's very selfish. It's very selfish. We yell, "Mine!" This word that we were told as kids, that we were like, no, you need to stop. Like, "Mine, mine, mine, that's my CD." I remember yelling, "Mine, mine, mine," as I run under the ball. And yet as I'm yelling, "Mine, mine, mine," I hear the footsteps of my teammate getting closer and closer and closer. And then I hear his voice say, "Mine, mine, mine." And all of a sudden, we're in this mind battle thinking we both have the better angle to catch the ball until the moment comes when it's just too late and we literally collide into each other as the ball drops down right in between us and hits the ground. Nobody catches it. And my teammate took the worst of the hit, which is surprising because he was the bigger kid, but, you know, ate my Wheaties. And he holds his hand up to me. And I look at his hand, and I see one of his fingers is completely dislocated in a way that I couldn't even describe to you right now. And he shows me his hand with shock on his face. And I'll never forget what he said. He said this, "Dude, we're on the same team." And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you made the same mistake that I made, man. But that stuck with me. Dude, we're on the same team. You see, when we let envy wreak havoc in our lives, we're actually forgetting that we're on the same team. That the people that we do life with, we're on the same team as them. The other's successes are not your failures. That it's not just about your personal victories. Others' victories are the team's victories. The fan in the stands still played a role and gets to go to the championship parade. Be someone's fan. Root them on. Cheer them on. And the thing that is even a struggle for me at times that I have to remind myself is that I can't be the fan that whines and complains about how it should be me out there in the field. That's not how Jesus calls me to live as his follower. To want the glory and the adulation and the spotlight for my own. That there are moments in my life when I need to cheer when the spotlight's on somebody else. You see, the older son in this passage is straight up whining. He's pouting. He's going, oh, come on, what about me? I've done everything you've ever asked of me. And you've never thrown a party for me, Dad. And so at the risk of sounding like I'm coming right out of an 80s movie with Bill and Ted in it, I want to tell you this. In the moments when we feel ourselves saying, I've done everything you've asked of me, and you've never thrown a party for me, this is what I say to this morning. I say this, party on. Party on. You see, we're to throw a party when a non-believer starts believing. We're to throw a party when God's grace shows up in the lives of others. We're to throw a party when a coworker gets the promotion. We're to throw a party when a friend is blessed in a powerful way. As Christians, we should be the best celebrators our community knows. Your neighbor's good news is your good news because it's God's good news in their lives. And so I want to wrap up this morning by asking you this. Who do you need to celebrate? Who do you need to celebrate in your life that you haven't yet? See, there are moments in all of our lives where we have opportunities to celebrate other people. And yet a lot of us fall into this trapping, like I mentioned, of the older son, where we want to stand off, we want to seclude ourselves, we have this initial reaction of just anger or these feelings of how could this happen to this person and not to me, and yet God doesn't call us to live that way. Some of my best friends in life have been ones where in moments where they could have sulked, they came to me and they celebrated with me in life's victories. And I believe Jesus is calling us to strive to do that in the lives of people that we do life with as well. Who do you need to celebrate? Chances are there's somebody that's in your life that has had a victory And that initial gut reaction right off the bat for us was to go, how come I didn't receive that? How come I didn't get that? How come that couldn't happen to me? And yet God is calling us out from a life of jealousy. God's calling us to a life of giving grace. God's calling us to a life of celebrating other people's victories. So who is that? Who do you need to celebrate in your life that maybe you haven't yet? You see, we're often reminded of our own personal need for God's grace and forgiveness. And none of us has to look very far into our own hearts before we discover that if we always got what we wanted, or if we always got what we deserved, we'd be in trouble. And as followers of Jesus, we have the unique opportunity to be extensions of that kind of grace towards other people. And as we go out into the world, my challenge this morning for all of us, myself included, is to let yourself write a different storyline when you find yourself in the role of the older brother. Let your life write a different storyline than that of jealousy or envy or just turning green and being upset when other people's victories happen. Man, we should as Christ followers, we should be the first people to jump beside those people, raise our hands up with theirs, and just celebrate with them. And so that's my challenge this morning. Will you allow God to write a different storyline in you and in your life when it comes to the way you react to other people's success? Will you be quick to celebrate with them? Will you rejoice with others in moments of victory? And will you praise God all while doing so? And so let's pray together, church, this morning. So God, I come to you this morning just recognizing that there are moments in my own life where gosh, I get so wrapped up with myself that I forget to stop and celebrate with others in moments of their victories. God, I don't want to be that person. God, I don't believe you call us to be that person, to be that way with our lives. God, I believe you call us to be gracious, to be graceful. God, to see and find moments in other people's lives where we can lift them up above our own names. Jesus, I believe that's who you were. I believe that's who you are. I believe that's who you will always be. God, that you'll celebrate with us in our moments, and yet, God, we're so quick to seclude ourselves and not celebrate with others. So, God, this morning, my prayer is that as we leave this place and we think about the lives of people that we do life with, God, that if there is somebody on our heart that we know we've had this like embittered feeling within our hearts towards because we feel like we deserved what they received, God, I'm going to ask that you would humble us this morning. Would you humble us in a way where we can't help but go to them and say, listen, I've been late to the party, but I want to show up now to celebrate you in the way that God's moving in your life. And if that doesn't bring more life to people, then God, I don't know what does. I want to point people to you. And you celebrate us in ways that we couldn't even imagine. And so God, I just lift that up this morning, knowing that we have an opportunity to praise others, God, as we praise you in their lives. And so, God, we're going to just do that this morning. We're going to praise you in this moment and worship and thank you for the ways that you continue to bless the lives of other people. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.